It went straight down. Yes,
if only it always went straight down the middle. But welcome back. You're listening to Tee It Up with Nate Ditchfield here on WSRQ, 98.9 FM, 106.9 FM, and 1220 AM, the voice of Sarasota. You know what? If you had planned to clean the garage today, if you had planned to take care of the honey-do list, I'm going to encourage you to be bad and get in trouble. There are very few perfect days, and today is one of those. Get out to the golf course and have a good time. You will thank me later. Your wife may not, but she can send email to somebody else. I'm not going to answer that one. But we have a very special guest on the phone. I'm excited to get a chance to talk to him. He is one of the principals of the award-winning Fry Straka Golf Club, Global Golf Course Design Firm. He has designed courses all over the world and is now working on a project right here in our backyard. Mr. Jason Straka is on the line. Jason, good morning.
Good morning. How are you guys doing?
Oh, we are doing great. Good. Now, I have to ask you, where are you calling from? It's about 72, going to be a high of 83 and good golf weather here. How about your neck of the woods?
Oh, sure. Rub it in. Why don't you? I'm actually back in my home in Dublin, Ohio. So for everybody that watches the Memorial Tournament at Muirfield Village, that's where I'm calling from. But I can tell you it's not quite as sunny and not as warm at the moment anyway.
Yeah, I can rub it in now. You can call me in August and make fun of us then.
You're darn right about that. You know, I've been spending a lot of time in it. As a matter of fact, I was in Sarasota the past few days. So maybe this morning I'm wishing to be back there, though.
There you go. Well, speaking of in Sarasota, you are working on a project, the Heron Course at the Oaks Club. And I have to tell you, this has a really special place in my heart. When I played high school golf back in these 1980-somethings here in Sarasota, our home course for Sarasota High School was the Heron Course at the Oaks before they had built the second course. So I have played an awful lot of golf and lost an awful lot of golf balls on that course. But tell us a little bit about the project, what's going on there, and I guess what the overall goal is with the new design.
Sure. It's a unique membership, guys, you know, in the fact that you've got a lot of snowbirds, obviously, but about half of the membership still stays around during the summertime. A lot of courses, especially, upscale courses, just like the Oaks is, they close down in the summer. And so they have an opportunity to get out and do maintenance. And, of course, when rainy season hits, it's not as a big of impact. But at the Oaks, it was. So you had a lot of folks that still wanted to play golf. And, of course, when the rains came in the summertime, they had a lot of significant drainage problems that developed over the years. And so that's one of the major goals, is to go in and really improve the drainage of the whole golf course. We also took a look. Golf's changed, guys. You know that.
And absolutely.
So, a lot of diversity of golfers, and so we've got a pretty big junior program out there. A lot of lady golfers, of course, some seniors, and so it's really has sort of stretched out over the generations who play the golf course, and folks need the ability to get around and enjoy themselves. And so we're really taking a hard look at improving that aspect of the course as well.
That's what I was going to ask you. I mean, I love that course. Don't get me wrong. But there were a lot of those no-see-ums, we used to call them, where you get up there and you hit what you think is the right shot, and you get up there and can't find the golf ball. Are there any major structure changes or design changes to any of the holes?
There definitely are a few. Golf courses, I always tell people golf courses are a lot like your home. And, what happens a lot of times is that folks get in their mind that after a golf course is designed and built that it stays that way for the next, 50 or 100 years. But the reality is that a lot of things change on a golf course. Mm-hmm. And in particular, trees get bigger. We call it grasses will change. Drainage changes. When we get into looking at making improvements on the golf course, we're looking at what's happened over the past few decades, and maybe even doing some restoration work. In terms of putting back playability or original design intent of particular holes or. It's funny, some of them are just those new no-see-ums that you're talking about.
Right.
Some folks would get rid of some of those no-see-ums while we're at it, too.
Well, the USGA.
I like that term, by the way. Yeah. The new design. You're going to get credit for a great new design phrase now.
I'll send you the mailing address for the checks, and we'll be good to go. I have to ask you. I mean, golf course design is something I've never really been a part of, but always intrigued by. Now, when you get a call from someone like the Oaks, and obviously you've got this award-winning, you know, design company, and even had the privilege of working on some incredible courses, which we'll talk about in a little bit here. But, you know, when you go look at a property, what is it that you try and evaluate? Are you trying to see potential? Are you looking for things that can change, or are you looking to enhance what's there? What's your perspective when you see a new property or one that you're looking at?
Yeah, for rent, it's, you know, it's a little different from a brand new golf course versus a renovation. When we went to the Oaks the first time, one of the things that I was most intrigued and pleased about were the width of the play corridors. And it doesn't necessarily mean that in between tree line to tree line, as you would evaluate it, or somebody else as a golfer themselves, that I'm looking at from property line on one side of the hole to property line on the other side.
Okay.
So many golf courses in Florida, you know, the corridors are super, super narrow. You know, things, that's another thing that's really changed, you know, probably not to our benefit, certainly would be the liability aspect of golf and just our society in general. So when I go out into Florida courses in particular, I'm looking for width of corridors. And the Oaks has got some really nice width to it. So I look at that and I say, well, gosh, you know, there's a really great opportunity. And there's a good golf course that we can make even better.
Right.
Jason, I would think there'd be a difficult challenge, especially with courses here in Florida. You know, now that we've got the technology has changed so much, and so many of the traditional courses are becoming obsolete because bunkers that were placed to catch a 270-yard drive, now the young guys are just blowing it over top of that. But then also with the senior golfers who cannot handle the difficult carry distances and stuff, I would imagine it's a real challenge to find a course that accommodates both ends of the spectrum here in Florida.
That's always a big challenge. You're right. And it's, you know, I use it. It benefits my design perspective in the fact that, you know, I used to be a fairly competitive junior golfer, not the best, but I mean, I carried a pretty low handicap for quite a few years, you know, and so at least I remember played a game to that level. But I also have a nephew who plays collegiate golf. And I tell you what, guys, I mean, if he gets a little upset on some of his, you know, if he has a bad hole, walks up to the next tee, and I see a little anger in his face. You know, I've seen him drive it nearly 400 yards.
Oh, my goodness.
I mean, there's no way I could dream, you know, of, you know, having hit it that far in the past. And then on the flip side, I've got a 12-year-old son who plays on his middle school golf team. And I watch all of his, you know, his friends and a lot of girls who are coming out to play. And I have a 9-year-old that plays, and so my wife plays. And so there's just this huge diversity, you know, of golfers, you know, that you really have got to accommodate. And that's the success of a truly good design.
Absolutely.
Yeah. We appreciate the tremendous work that you guys put into considering all of those factors because, you know, for golf to be to keep going, it's got to be enjoyable for players of all levels. So a real challenge.
And in our area, I mean, we've got a lot of playable courses. We've got courses like the Concession and Founders Club where if you're not playing well, you're probably going to struggle. But the Oaks is one with a vibrant membership, a lot of great folks, and people that have been in this area for a while, too. So it's great to see them, you know, spending the money and making this investment in this course. So now I've got to ask you, Jason, we're joined by Jason Straka. He is an award-winning golf course design and architect specialist. But coming up in 2017, the U.S. Open is coming to Erin Hills. And I understand you were involved in that project. Is that right?
It was involved in that project. It was we had a large design group of folks, you know, that were involved with it. You know, Dana Fry, my partner, Ron Witten, who actually is a golf editor at Design Architecture Editor at Golf Digest. Mike Herdson, you know, who is, gosh, I worked for Mike for quite a few years and still maintain a relationship. But that's right, 2017 is on the calendar, and we're really looking forward to it. It's going to be an exciting, no question, exciting year.
Absolutely.
A little nerve-wracking, though, guys, because, you know, now you're talking about the world's elite of the elite.
Absolutely. You know, and, well, just thinking back to, I was going to say, just thinking back to this summer in Pinehurst, we talked for 2 weeks on this show about the condition of that course, and we had a lot of nice things to say and then a lot of commentary as well, if you will. So, yeah, you guys are going to be under the microscope, but I'm sure it will all go well. So, all right, well, anything?
Yeah, we've got to tell you. It's been tested out, you know. So we've had the 2011 U.S. Amateur, you know, the USGA ran that as a sort of a test event. So, I mean, those kids, I actually call them kids because, you know, most of them are anymore.
Sure, yeah.
They really bomb the ball anyway. So they're looking at bunker placement and tee placement and making sure they're getting it prepped for the Open.
Yeah, I've got a buddy of mine that's a local golf pro here, and he's had the chance to play the course and just absolutely raved about it. So maybe we'll have to get up there and give that a try before the Open. Dad, you want to take a little road trip?
Oh, yes, okay. I'm ready. I'll go home and pack right now.
All right, sounds good. But all right, so anything...
Well, I think you can probably get a tee time pretty easy right at the moment. I don't know.
Bring your snowshoes and then you're all set, right?
Oh, wow. All right, well, tell us a little bit about the timing before we go to break here. You know, as far as the course, it's under construction now, or what stage of the process are we at?
It's under construction. We have, we call it shaping, so that means putting all the artistic components in, creating all the green contours and the bunker complexes and the tees, and so there's a lot of that's happening. We have about 6 holes that are nearly finished in the shaping process. We have irrigation going in, drainage going in, so it's really full bore right there now. There's a lot of folks out really working hard on it, and of course, so... we can't really start doing any grassing, you know, I mean, putting down the Bermuda grass turf until March, until the weather turns again.
Right.
But, you know, it'll be ready to go for play, you know, this time next year, roughly.
Awesome. Well, when you're down and cutting that ribbon, maybe we'll have to swat a few around and play a couple holes. So.
Now that I know that you played some competitive golf there for a few years, I think that should be definitely on the radar.
Sounds like a plan.
You should be out there for that.
All right. Well, Jason, thanks so much for joining us. We really appreciate you calling in, and enjoy your fall weather up there today.
You guys enjoy the warm weather down there.
All right. Thanks, Jason. Guys. All right. That was Jason Straker. What a, you know, interesting perspective. I love the inside of the golf game that most people don't get to see, the architecture, just the shaping. I mean, things like that you get to find out about how it happens, the amount of work, thought process, technology, everything that goes into it, pretty cool. So we're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we'll be bringing you up to date on the leaderboards, all the latest that's going on tour at our different tour stops right now, LPGA, PGA Tour. So you're listening to Tee It Up with Nate Ditchfield here on WSRQ Radio, the voice of Sarasota.